Okay, Pastor's gracious. You know, I think this is one of the first years, I've been doing this for 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years already, that we've actually had a Pashas Brachos, because it very often happens that Simchas Torah ends in the middle of the week, and then that Shabbos, just a couple of days later, is already Pashas Brachos. There's no Tuesday before Pashas Brachos. So this is, I don't remember giving a shiur before on Pashas. I'll have to look in the video, the archives, and see whether or not there's something there. There is a lot to discuss in Parshas Brachos. So what I thought we would study, as I've done many times in this class, is I'd like to study the verses that I myself have never really had much of a chance to look through in depth. This is always as exciting. So I wanted to do the sixth day of creation, the day of course, we know the creation of man, and focus on that, and learn all that, see what we can learn. Okay, so it's page 6. Page 6. So we're going to, there are two verses in the beginning which I want to do quickly, and then we'll focus really more on the creation of man. So, Pasuk Chaf Dal, this is the 24th verse in the Chumash. We begin the first 5 days up until this point. Vayomer Elokim Totzei Ha'aretz Nefesh Chayo Lemino Behema Varemes Chayso Eretz Lemino Vayihi Chayim. So Hashem says, let the earth bring forth living creatures, each according to its kind, animal and creeping thing, the beast of the land, each according to its kind. So here we have the beginning of the sixth day of creation. And what is the first thing that's created on day 6? Animals, the animal creatures, animals, creeping things, beasts of the land, all of those things are created here on day 6. Vayas Elokim es chayos haaretz limina, evyata behemo limina, ve'es koremes ho'adamo limineu, vayar Elokim ki tov. Shem made the beast of the earth according to its kind, the animal according to its kind, and every creeping being of the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So we have these two verses, the first verse in which Hashem basically says, let the earth bring forth these beings, these animals, and then the second verse saying, and Hashem then actually made them, looked at what he did and said, ki tov, like he does for all of the, most of the days of creation. Vayar Elokim, ki tov. Okay, that's the introduction to what I really want to focus on, which is the back half of day 5. That's the first thing that's created on day 6, that of the animal world. So far, so good, pretty straightforward. Okay, now let us note the language that's used in the beginning of verse 24. How are the animals, what Hebrew phrase are the animals referred to as? Nefesh Chaya, excellent. Vayomer Elokim Totzei Ha'aretz Nefesh Chaya. Let the earth bring forth a Nefesh Chaya. How would you translate a Nefesh Chaya?
Living soul.
Living soul. Chaya is from the word of live, to live or to have life. Nefesh is a soul, that which has a living soul. And we are clearly referring to the animal world as living beings. They have a nefesh chaya. Now, we could speak in Kabbalistic terms about the different types of souls that are out there, but there is clearly some type of living soul in the animal. They are all alive, and they are referred to in the Torah with that phrase of a nefesh chaya. Okay, we'll keep that on the table. We'll get back to that, Mirtz Hashem. Okay, now, day 6 continues. Vayomer Elokim. Now you are familiar, possibly, with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which describes that Hashem created the world with 10 utterances. 10 times He says the word Vayomer as He goes through the various parts of creation. And the Ramban right away points out that here on day 6, day 6 in itself has 2 separate Vayomers, 2 separate utterances of Hashem in which He's causing creation. The first one was in verse 24, Vayomer Elokim Totzei Ha'aretz Nefesh Chayo Lemina, let the earth bring forth this animal kingdom. He does. The animals are created. Hashem looks and says, it's good. And then again on the same day, we have a second, Vayomer Elokim Na'asa Adam B'Tzalmeinu, let us make man in our image, which is of course the beginning of the creation of man, the pinnacle, the climax of creation. The Ramban right away points out, why are there 2 separate amiras, 2 separate utterances, 2 separate sayings for this creation? It says to distinguish man from the animal kingdom from which he was also created on the same day. Which is interesting, we're going to talk about this a lot also. If you were God, for just a moment, and you were coming up with the different days of creation, what was created back on day 5? The fish, right? Now you look on the 5th day, let the waters teem with the teeming living creatures, and he did, and he created all the big things. Excellent. So if you have days 5 and day 6 in front of you, you're trying to map out your creation, right? You have all the things out there on the board that need to be created, and you're like, I only have 6 days, how should I do it? And it comes down to, you have 2 days, you have day 5 and day 6 for all living beings. Fish, animals, birds, humans. 2 days to do it. How would you do it? If I were God for just a moment, and I have those 4 things left on my board, I've like created everything on the board is already done. I took care of the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth and the water. I did everything. And all that's left, fish, animals, birds, humans, and I got 2 days to do it, and I'm not really limited by anything because I'm God, so I can do whatever I want. Well, I would put fish, animals, and birds on one day, and then I would put humans on the other day. And what does Hashem do? Fish and birds on one day, and then he puts animals and man together on the same day. Now that's of note. If you are Adam Harishon, and you're the first person created, and you look back and you said, that's odd, why was I created on the same day as the animals? You're giving me dominion over them, as we'll see, but I am created on the same day.
Is he telling us something?
Think so. Now we're gonna touch on that a little bit more. I want to just set up that it's interesting. Now the Ramban is pointing out, despite the fact that God did decide to create both animals and humans on the same day, separating that from fish and birds. Fish and birds day 5, animals and man on day 6. Man and animal was separated by 2 separate dibors, 2 separate amiras, 2 separate utterances that brought them into creation. First you have the animals, and then on the second day, and I believe this is the only day that has the 2 separate ones, although I'm not positive about that, but certainly the Ramban points out that here is of note that we do have that. We have a second utterance said on day 6 to usher in the creation of man. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more again about this dichotomy, this man being like animal, being different than animal, created on the same day as animals, but with a separate statement creating him, as we move along. Okay, let's read 26. Here we have the beginning of the introduction of the creation of man, the pinnacle, climax, purpose of all of creation. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Naase Adam b'tzalmeinu k'dmuseinu. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. V'yirdu bidgas hayom uve'of hashomayim uva'beheimo uve'chol ha'oretz uve'chol ha'remes ha'romes al ha'oretz. And they shall rule over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, those things created on day 5, and over the animal, that which was created on day 6, and the whole earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, man shall rule over. And let's read one more verse, and then we'll talk about this. 27, Vayivra Elokim es ha'odam b'tzalmo. So God created man in his image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, okay, heavy stuff. Let's assume we had no theological problems up to verse 26. Everything was fine, we understood it all, and we got all the days of creation like smooth. What's the obvious major theological problem we run into when we hit verse 26? Right, who's God talking to? Let us make man in our image after, and I imagine you've all heard this question before. This is one of the big ones. I mean, this is God speaking, the creating man, and the Torah has him speaking in plural. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, there are really 2 problems, 2 theological problems in that one statement. 2 major theological problems, which we'll try to address a little bit. What's the second major theological problem in that statement?
What does God look like?
God doesn't have an image, right? One of the fundamental tenets of our belief is that God is imageless. He is formless. He is shapeless. He doesn't have anything that you can point to and say, oh, that's the image of God. That's what God looks like. There's no drawing in the world that you can say, sure, yeah, that's God. You're not allowed to say that. You know how to paint something like that? You know how to believe in something like that? It doesn't exist. So here in this first verse describing the climax, pinnacle of creation, God making man, and he does two really weird things. He says, let us make man in our image. Who are you talking about and what image are you talking about? And this is us we're talking about. This is man. What do we do with such a person, with such a pasuk? What do we do with such a pasuk? Okay, now this has been much discussion throughout the centuries on such a pasuk. So let's start with Rashi. Rashi is probably, if you've heard this question before and you've heard an answer, you probably have heard the answer that Rashi has given to this question. Rashi says as follows. We'll read it inside. It's a classic Rashi, one of the most frequently quoted Rashis in all of Chumash, because this is one of the most frequently asked questions in all of Chumash. Rashi says, let's read, Rashi actually has two separate approaches, which are very similar. Let's just read the second one. If you want to follow it inside, it's in the first column, what's that, 3, 6, 8 lines down in Rashi. Na'asa Adam, let us make man, says Rashi, af al pi shelo si'uhu bi'yitziraso, even though really there was no one else who helped Hashem in the forming of man. There was nobody else involved. God did it himself. V'yesh makom l'minim lirdos. And there are, you have left room for heretics to claim all sorts of other claims. When you write the phrase, let us make man, what did the Torah open itself up to?
Trinity.
The Trinity. I mean, this is the source. Let us make, who's speaking here? Well, obviously there are multiple gods. Well, you got that from Rashi.
Okay.
But the Rashi quotes, why would you speak in a way which is opening up yourself for other heretical beliefs? We believe in one God, a single God, a unity, a God that's only one. There's no other else. There are no words to describe anything else. So says Rashi, why would you speak in such a manner? Says Rashi, Lo nimna hakosov milalamed derech eretz umidas anava. The Torah does not hold itself back, did not refrain from teaching us derech eretz, appropriate behavior, and the midah of humility. There was a cost. There was a lesson that the Torah wanted to teach us, and there was a cost of that lesson. There was a price tag that you're going to have to pay for it. What's the lesson? Shehei hagodol nimloch v'notol rishus min hakatan. That somebody of greater stature asks permission of somebody of lesser stature before doing something. That God himself, the greatest of the greats, asks, so to speak, his administering angels, what do you think we do? Shall we not make man at this point? Yes, let's make man, God. So it's almost as if he's asking permission, asking rishus of them, in doing so. And there's a lesson that the Torah wants us to have. The lesson is, you may be bigger, not just that you think you're so, but you might actually be bigger. You might actually have a higher position of authority in whatever system you're working in. It is appropriate before doing something to ask those who might be inferior to you, so to speak, for permission, for their approval, for their whatever it is that you need of them. It's derech eretz, and it's humility that a leader says, thinking about doing this, what do you think? What's the cost? The cost is that you've now written into your Torah a plural language of let us make man. Says Rashi, that lesson is worth teaching to have to deal with the fact that now the Torah says a plural language of let us make man. Says Rashi, the tshuvas haminim ksuva betzido, and the reality is the response to the heretics is written right next to it, because the very next pasuk says vayivro es ha'adam, that Hashem himself, singular, created man. So that in verse 26 it says let us make man in our image. Verse 27 says singular, and Hashem himself created man. So that even if you wanted to get misled, if our person words have been misled by the plural, the answer is right next to it, that God himself did it. Why is it said there in the plural, says Rashi, to teach us this lesson that a person needs to know humility, you need to know derech eretz, you need not to get lost in yourself.
So why does he wait until the end of day 6 to start speaking the plural?
Okay, excellent question. I would imagine, I'm speaking on my own, that since day 6 is really the purpose of everything was for this creation of man, that that would be the most appropriate place. Everything else was leading up to it. If I really want to teach you the lesson of before you embark on a project, you should use derech eretz and humility and speak to the people around you about it. It's about the ikkar, the primary purpose of your project. Everything else was only leading up to this is really what it was all about. So when God says to his administering angels, "Let us make, shall we make man?" That all of creation was all about that. So that would be my guess, but it's a good question. Not sure if that fully answers it, but that's my guess.
Is that like a rhetorical question, sort of?
Sort of, yeah. In other words, like the angels aren't going to say, although the Midrashim discuss a debate. I don't know if the angels said, there's a fascinating message I'm not equipped to speak about right now. It goes something along the lines of, MS said, you know, the midah of truth, the midah of sheker, of falsehood, and of justice all had, you know, like sheker said, for sure, man will be filled with lies, let's create him, and the midah of emes said, you can't create him, because there was a whole debate about, you know, the midrashim had different ways of perceiving the malachim, saying he should, that you shouldn't. In simple meaning, yes, it was rhetorical, the midrashim have what to say about that also, but not for today's discussion. Okay, now, as far as Rashi goes, this is an interesting Rashi, because what Rashi often does, especially here in Bereishis, in Parashas Bereishis, which is so difficult to understand, Rashi often will quote a Medrash, tying it into things like what we just did, and then he'll say, but if you really want to know the simple meaning of the verse, it's this. So what Rashi did for us here was gave us the Midrashic approach. What did God mean when he said, let us make man in our image? He was really referring to discussion that God had with his angels. He was teaching us derech eretz. He was teaching us humility. A simple meaning of the verse. What? How do we explain the plural? Rashi suffices us with, that's what God did. I want to share with you a magnificent Ramban. The Ramban fills in what he believes is the simple meaning of the verse, of a plural language, without getting involved in God talking to his angels and teaching us humility and derech eretz. What he holds is the simple meaning of the verse. And I saw this literally, I think it was just yesterday. I never seen another interpretation other than Rashi until I saw this from Ramban. Ramban's Lezvim, I just never saw it before. What he holds is the simple meaning. And the Ramban sets it up by the verse which we just read previously, in verse 24, for example. Let's learn verse 20 and 24, he says. How does verse 20 read? Flipping back a page. Let the waters teem with teeming living creatures. God said, who's God speaking to when he says, let the waters teem with teeming living creatures? He's speaking to himself, but it's as if he's speaking about the waters themselves, that they should now be filled with the teeming creatures. 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to himself, he's not speaking to anybody, but it's as if he's speaking to the earth, that it should bring forth its living creatures. Now, God has to create them, which is what happens in the next verse. But it's as if he's speaking to the earth, bring forth the animals, bring forth the fish from the waters, says the Ramban. Kilomar, why is he speaking in the plural language of let us make man? Kolomar ani v'ha'aretz na'ase adam. Just like I spoke to the land to bring forth the animals, and I spoke forth to the waters to bring forth the fish, it's as if Hashem is speaking to the earth and saying, bring forth man, except this is going to be different. By the fish and by the animals and by the birds, you're doing it alone, so to speak. But man's a different type of creation. It's going to be you and I together, plural, are going to bring forth man. Shetotzi ha'aretz ha'guf miyusodeha, the earth will bring forth the body of man, like it does by the animal world. It's comprised of the earthly elements. Not that the earth gives birth to the animals, but that from the earthliness, the elements in the earth comes forth the physical body of the animal world. As it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofar min ha'adama. The way that the Torah describes the creation of man is Hashem formed man from the dust of the earth. The physical body that we have comes from the dust of the earth. V'yitein hu yisparach haruach mipi elyon. And I will then contribute the neshama to this creature. So na'ase adam b'tzalmeinu is earth. You and I have a partnership here. A unique partnership that doesn't exist anywhere else in creation. You will provide the physical elements of his physical body, and I will provide the spiritual elements of his soul, which will create that unique concept called the human being. Now, with that idea, says the Ramban, we're going to explain the second phrase, which was the second problem that we had. What did it mean to be created in our likeness and in our image? What does that mean to say that we're going to be created in the likeness and the image of Hashem? So the Ramban takes this approach of what he just says and says that's exactly what that means. Ki yidme lishneihem. We will be similar to both the earth and to godliness. B'matkunos gufo la'aretz. In the nature of our physical beings will be similar to the land. V'yidme beruach le'elyonim. And we'll be similar in likeness to the elyonim, to the angels, the heavenly beings in our spirit. She'ein aguf lo tamus, which is not a body and will never die. Now the Ramban here talking before the sin of Adam. The Ramban is of the opinion that before Adam Harishon, Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, he would have otherwise lived forever. So says the Ramban, being created in the image of God, plural, in our image, is a reference to this idea of a little bit like the earth, a little bit like the animal world of which we came, and a little bit like the heavenly list. We'll have parts of us that will be earthy, but we'll have the soul which will live forever. And then the Torah repeats itself. If you notice, it was a little bit wordy, the end of verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Why does it keep saying that he created him in his image? It says the Ramban, L'sapir ha-pela asher nislavo mishar ha-nivran, to describe the wondrous nature of man which distinguishes him from all other creatures, that he's so different in having, possessing this unique element of being partly earthly, partly divine. And that's this idea, they're both created on the sixth day. The animal world is created on the sixth day. And then God says a second amira, a second utterance on that sixth day, in which he says, now let us make man part from you, that first half of the sixth day, but I'm going to imbue that body with my soul, v'yipoch ba'apov nishmas chayim, to blow into the breath of life, instill him with this soul, and that will create a new form, this unique aspect, part earthly, part divine, combined together in a form that would otherwise have lived forever, except as we know today, we are no longer privileged that after the sin, in which there will be an end to the life that we live. That is how the Ramban understands that language of the plural, plus the likeness and inner image, is the likeness and inner image a little bit, we look like animals, our anatomy is very similar, physiology is very similar. That's what it means, then likeness and in our image. That's part of the animals, and you also have part of you that will be in the likeness of a spiritual being that will live forever. A little bit like this, a little bit like that. That's what it means. What does it mean that he speaks in the plural? He's speaking to the earth, let us partner in creating this being. Now Rashi, as I mentioned, learned, he only quoted the Medrash. Why was it said in plural? Because Hashem was speaking to his heavenly beings. What does it mean then when Rashi finishes that verse and Hashem says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? He can't learn like the Ramban learned that it meant earthliness plus divineness, because that's only if the Ramban learned that God was speaking in the plural form to the earth and to himself in our image. But if in Rashi's understanding God is only speaking to his heavenly ministering angels, what does it mean when he says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? Who's anybody yet? You don't have to answer that question. says Rashi, Bitzalmeinu, what does it mean in our image? Bitfus shelanu, in the mold that was created, in our mold. Now, many of the commentators understand what Rashi means, bitfus shelanu, in the mold that we made, that we designated for man to be used. In the mold that we created for man, because, of course, God doesn't have an image or a mold. I'll get back to that in one more thing, and then we'll go a little bit further. Kid Museinu, in our likeness. And Rashi here says two things. Lehavin ulahaskil. To understand and perceive, just have an insight into certain things. In the image of God, in Rashi's understanding, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Is in our ability to have seichel, our ability to understand things, to perceive them, and have that form of knowledge is the image, the likeness of God in which we are created. I want to share with you something. This is the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim. This is written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva in Volozhin, which was existed for about 90 years in the 1800s. I think it closed in 1891 in Russia, and the Russian government finally closed it down. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was a student of the Vilna Gaon, was the Rosh Hashiva there. He wrote this book. It's a Kabbalistic in nature. I'm just going to read the first page. Just the first page. So the reason why I want to share with you this first page, when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so after Mincha, every day we'd have a Mincha at 2:30, went until about 2:45, and then there was a half-hour Musar Seder, in which all the boys were expected to learn work on ethics, on morals, on character development. That half-hour of the day was designed for everybody to study by yourself or with a chavrusa. One of the works, not the Talmud, not the Chumash, find one of the books that's geared towards character development, and the half hour of the day was designated. So I had a Rebbe, who I still hold to be a Rebbe of mine, who during that half hour used to study this book. Fine. And every once in a while, you know, sometimes you don't sit for the half hour straight, you have to go to the back, you have to make a phone call, go to the bathroom, get a book, whatever. He would sit in the very back row, and I noticed that he was on the first page of the book. And I noticed several weeks later, he was still on the first page of the book. And that already drew my attention. So I started making a habit of wandering behind him every couple of days. And sure enough, for the entire year, he was on the first page of this book. Now, let me assure you that he knew how to read Hebrew, and he knew how to translate. And the entire year, he spent on this one page. So what did I do naturally? No, I didn't ask him. If this was a good story, I would have asked him. I would have said, Rebbe, I studied the page. What is here? What's he doing all day long for an entire year on the same page? So I want to read it to you. So this is the first page of the book. Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes the verse we just read. Vayivro Elokim es Adam Bitzalmo. Hashem created man in his image. The Oimek Pnimius Inyan Hatzalam. What does it mean to have the image of Hashem? This is a problem, right? God doesn't have an image. What does it mean? Ashlahovin ula haskil, to understand, to perceive, to have insights. What is included? What does it mean to be created in the image and the likeness of Hashem? Says Rav Chaim, the words tzelem and demus, image and likeness, which the Torah describes in the image and likeness of Hashem, eino kimashmo, it doesn't mean literally in the likeness and image of God, because God doesn't have one. There's no such thing. Ela perusho dimyon ma be'ezer davar. Some similarity in some aspect. A dimyon ma, there's some similarity, something in common. Kemo domisi likahas midbar. David HaMelech in Tehillim writes, I was demisi, that same word the Torah uses, demus, the likeness, I was likened to a desert bird. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, do you think David HaMelech grew a beak and wings and a tail and he started to fly? What does he mean when he writes, Domisi lekahas midbar, I became comparable, similar to a desert bird? Says Rav Chaim, lo nas lo knafayim v'char, he didn't grow wings and a beak. No one would look at David HaMelech and say, you look just like that bird I saw in the desert the other day. He was comparable to Mikre Pu'ulosov in his actions. He was on the run at the time from his son Avshalom, who was trying to overthrow him. And he was running from one place to another, never resting in any one place for too long. Kimo akos midbar. So my behavior was such that if you looked at my behavior, it was the same behavior as the desert bird flying from one place to another, never resting for too long in any one place. Kahu lefia pashtanim. Kain hu al derech ze inyan milas tzelem. This is what it means when we say that we were created in the image of Hashem. Ki heima doimim b'mashmo'am b'tzad ma. we are in some way comparable to Hashem. End of the first page, end of the first chapter. Spent a year on this. What is the meaning of this first page? God says, let us make man and we will create him in the image and the likeness of myself. Do we look like God? No, we can't. No such thing. So what does it mean we're created in his likeness and in his image? Says Reb Chaim, the same way a person can say, I was like a bird, means that if you would look at his behaviors, you would see the same behaviors of a bird. If you would look at a human, we have the capability, the capacity, the potential for saying, those behaviors are godly. That is the way God behaves. Just like he's compassionate, he's kind, visits the sick, clothes the naked, all the things that we say about God. When we look at our actions, that's what it means to be created, B'Tselem Elokim. You're created in the image of Hashem. Someone can look at you and say, oh, just like, oh, human beings like a bird, you're like God. And we have the capacity, we've been endowed with the skills, the tools, the machshava, the thought processes, the communication skills, to be able to in some way, through our behaviors, for someone to look at us and say, oh yeah, that's just like what I read about God does. That's an amazing thing. He spent a year, I always think about like, what was he working on every day? Just this one page, understand, still just remember the way that he would sit. She must have had it memorized, but just going over, are my behaviors, are my actions today godly? If somebody looked at me, would they say, those are the actions of God? He's doing the same thing. David HaMelech says, I'm like a bird of the desert. Would someone look at me today and say, you're like God? Or would they not? Did I fall short of that in some way? Through my behaviors, through my actions, through my thought process, what I'm involved with, what I'm busy. And just all day, for a half hour, every day, for a year, just working on this idea, to remind himself every day, are my actions aligned with this thought? Really magnificent. Just magnificent. Let me take a break. I want to skip a page. There are two accounts of the creation of man. So this is really the same topic, but I just want to learn one more very important thing before we continue with these verses. There are two accounts of the creation of man. The one is the one that we're in the middle of right now. Six verses creating in this during the sixth day of creation. And then in the second chapter of Bereishis, we mentioned many times, as you know, the Torah itself doesn't create the different chapter headings. That's all from the Christian printers when they first printed their first Bible. There's a second accounting of man. That is, and I want to just read one pasuk in that accounting. That's on page 10.
You have these different ideas running through, and the rabbis are very careful to separate what Jewish thought is about.
Yes. Yeah, we're always dealing with that, 100%. It's always one thought on that. You know, by the Akedah, we'll have Abraham sacrificing his son upon God's command, as opposed to the Christian theology, which is God sacrificing his son for the people. It's totally backwards. That really sums up the whole,
Right.
Oh yeah. Okay, but we'll talk about the theological differences some other time. I want to get to this verse. So the beginning of chapter 2 begins with the seventh day, the completion of the. And this is the biggest proof that no Jew would have set up the chapters this way. Would you have put the seventh day at the beginning of the second chapter or the end of the first chapter?
Yeah.
I mean that's all the same. That's the same thing, right? But they put it at the beginning of the second chapter already. Okay, but in any case, that's not for now. All right, Shem, to keep Shabbos off. All right, but not for today's discussion. In verse 7 here on chapter 2, on page 11, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adamah. So Hashem, God, formed the man of the dust from the ground. Vayipof v'apov nishmas chayim. And again, this is that combination the Rambam was speaking about, that his body comes from the earth. He blows into him the breath of life. So man is endowed with his soul. God breathes into the man, his nostrils, this breath of life. Now, is that unique in the creation or not unique in the creation? Yeah, right? A resounding yes. Of course that's unique. That's the soul. That's what distinguishes us from everything else. Even though we were both created on the sixth day, but only man received the breath of life from God himself. So now if I asked you, if you now needed to describe what man looked like, following being endowed with this soul, this unique godly gift of soul, how would you describe man? Or let me ask you, I'll put in a yes or no question. Would you want man to be described in a unique manner, or should he be described as all the other animal kingdoms out there? Right? Because he just was given a soul. You just said God formed man from the dust of the earth. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life. That's pretty unique. That's our soul. And man became blank. Shouldn't man become something unique? What does the Torah describe as man becoming?
Nefesh Chaya.
Nefesh Chaya, that's odd. I recognize that word. Where do we have that word before? The animals were described as a Nefesh Chaya. So here we have a verse describing the unique creation of man, formed from the dust of the earth, given a soul, and he becomes... That's it. He just became a Nefesh Chaya. You talked about the animals that way. You ever heard this question before? That's a fantastic question.
Mm-hmm. Do the animals have souls then?
Well, they have some level of a soul. For sure they have some. I mean, they're a living creature. You know who asked this question?
Evolutionists.
They might, but if someone else asked that question.
Rashi.
Rashi asked this question, of course. All the questions I asked are not my questions. I don't know. I'm just repeating others. I want to share with you Rashi's answer because of its brilliance. Rashi's answer, okay, now this question is, if you want to follow me inside in Rashi, it's in the second column on page 10, from the bottom of that column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up, Nefesh Chaya. So, now this should have been the phrase that we would have expected some unique definition of man, because he's just been endowed with his soul, and instead the Torah describes him as a living being, which is the same word to describe all the animals. Says Rashi, Af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh chaya. All the animals are called nefesh chaya. Answers Rashi, Ach zu shel adam chaya shebekulon. This soul that man was endowed with makes him more alive than all of them. There is being a living creature, and then there's being a living creature. And there's a distinction that man is somehow more alive, chaya shebekulon, more alive than the animals. Why? Shenitosev bodeya v'dibor. Because he now has the additional aspect of his soul, which gives him deya, knowledge, and dibor, ability to speak. And with his additional faculties of deya and dibor, of knowledge and speech, he becomes more alive than the other animals that exist. So that the animal world exists, you can go to a zoo, they're alive. The human being standing there watching the animals, able to perceive and understand things, and talk to each other about, oh, did you see what the zebra just did? Is more alive, in Rashi's words, than the animals themselves. Now, I want to share with you where the brilliance of this is on a thought that I saw from Rav Shlomo Volga, who I like to quote in this class also often, who takes up on this idea and says, God created us in a way that we should be able to use our intellect to communicate with dibur, with speech. And when we do so, we create chevra, and we are more alive. A person is more alive when he's involved with other people, involved in human communication, than when he's not. Just makes him more alive. That's the power of the ability to speak. The power of dibur is that it's a connector. It forms those connections and allows people to connect in a way that's totally different. This is, as an aside, it's not really an aside, but a little bit parenthetical, the Torah holds that if a person damages somebody else, so you have to pay the value of whatever is what you damage. So if you make a person blind, you have to pay the value of what their eyesight would have been worth. And there's a whole complicated mechanism of figuring that out. How do you figure out how much their eyesight was worth them? What if you make a person deaf? You pay the value as if you had killed them. Because when you can't hear, you're cut out. You can't accept mussar. You can't be rebuked. You can't grow. You can't have that form of connection, and the way that you're cut out is different than when you can't see. Dibor, the ability to speak, to be able to then hear that and perceive that, is the great connector that we have. And when a person uses that, they're more alive. Now, I'm going to add to that, this is my own thought, in the world that we live in today, and you'll tell me if you corroborate my feelings on this, we live in a world of electronic media that's never existed before. Between email, Facebook, Twitter, and everything else that's out there, we are communicating probably with more people more often than ever before. But there's something missing. You're not as connected. And when you pick up the phone and you speak to someone, the human connection, the ability to speak, to connect in that way, is more alive than without that. Now, there are two aspects. There's day and divorce. So even when you're communicating through email, you still have the daya. You still have the knowledge. And it's only humans can do that. But there's that other element. It's daya and dibur together. It's the ability to be able to speak and to understand. And there's something very powerful, alive. I'm more alive when I'm with people. I'm more alive when
that
I can communicate.
That is an option now. For it to get a voice.
When you get a voice, right?
Well, you can't do it.
In terms of where you were.
Email.
Where it comes out in a voice.
Yeah.
Right? Because
it's not the voice.
Not the person.
It's a less alive voice.
Right? We crave that ability to communicate to create through that. And this, of course, is the very destructive power of Lashon Hara. Why there's such an emphasis put on the inappropriate usage.
Like we get a voice when we get to
On the destructive powers of Lashon Hara, when you use your words inappropriately, the Gemara describes Lashon Hara as if you've killed a person. You embarrass somebody publicly. You can destroy a person with words. I think I mentioned this before many times. The famous saying that we all grew up with, of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Sticks and stones may break my bones, and I'll heal. Words will hurt forever. To get past sometimes a hurtful comment, decades, generations, maybe never. How a positive comment can just change our whole course of our life. Someone says, "Oh, you did it really well." Like, all of a sudden, like that, like you have a whole new, like you take a whole new course. Very powerful. Nefesh Chai, the creation of man, when Hashem breathed into us the soul of life, and we became a Nefesh Chai. And Rashi says that's a funny odd. What do you mean Nefesh Chai alive? You always were alive, more alive than the animals because you have Deya and Dibor. Protect them fiercely because your knowledge, your intellect, and your ability to speak is the gift of the soul that God endowed us with. It's that unique aspect that separates us from all the other animal kingdom that the Torah stresses in the creation of man. The pinnacle and climax of all of creation is for that. So I just wanted to throw that in. That's from the later verse. But the later verse. Okay, let's learn a few more verses. Let's just see if we can get through back to page 8. Back to page 8. Okay, so we did 26 and 27. Again, God said in 26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. They shall rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the animal, the whole earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God gave us dominion that we should rule over everything. Created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Rashi points out that even though later in that second account, we're going to discover that really man was created first, and then from man came female. And this verse seems to imply they were created together. So Rashi says the simple meaning of the verse is to tell you that both that all happened on the same day. You shouldn't think that like man existed on day 6 by himself and like went a week or two or three that way. And then God said, you know, it's not so good for man to be by alone himself. He shouldn't be alone. Let's make a woman. That all happened together here on the sixth day that man and woman was created. And midrashically, Rashi comments, the fact that the verse seems to imply that man and woman were created together, that Hashem actually did create them together, or shnei partzufim, as two beings side by side, or back to back, I think is the way that the sages imagine it, and they were later split. And that's the idea the sages talk about in marriage, that a person being brought back together with their basher, so to speak, going back to the original form of creation, of being created together, being split, and brought back together. That's way beyond our discussion exactly what that means. Okay, one more thought. Let me share one more thought. What word is used to describe the creation of man in verse 27? Which Hebrew word is used to describe the bringing into existence of man. In verse 27. Now, first word in verse 27. Vayivra. What does Vayivra mean? What does English say? Created. What's the second word in the Chumash? Bereshis?
Bara.
Created, right? What do we call the first 6 days? The 6 days of creation, right? We expect God to be doing a lot of creating, right? How many times do you think the word bara appears during the 6 days of creation?
I'm guessing twice.
Yeah, it's a good guess. I mean, how many would we expect it to appear? Right? Six or so, like a lot. Like, how many things are created? Well, there are a lot of things that was created. First, we have light, and we have darkness, and we have the firmament that separates the upper waters and the lower waters. We have the dry land, we have the sun, we have the moon, we have the fish, we have the birds, we have the animals, we have man. There's lots of stuff. How many times should the Torah describe something being created? All of those, right? Anyone have any guess how many times it actually appears? Any of you are close?
It's one time here.
Okay, so we know one time here by man, one time in the very beginning, Bereshis Baro Elokim Hashamayim V'Yas Haaretz, God created the heavens and the earth. There's only one other time. I'll give you a hint, it's in the fifth day. Nope. Excellent, the sea giants in verse 21. Shem created the sea giant, the beginning of the fifth day, the first thing that was created on the fifth day of creation. So what we have here is, we have out of all 6 days, every other word is he formed and he made. The word bara, the Ramban writes, is a word which is designated for something unique, something new, something out of nothing. And therefore it's used very sparingly in the Chumash because it's a very fine, powerful word of to create. God creates. You know, man can't create. We take elements that exist and reshape and reform. But man's not creative. In English we use the word create. But the Hebrew connotation of bara, we're not really capable of doing. Because all man does, we take things which exist and recycle it. And emails and cell phones and spaceships, yeah, but all that existed a long time ago. We're just getting better and better and better at manipulating the elements that exist, reshaping, reforming, and repackaging. God creates, but he only uses that word three times in all of creation. The beginning of creation, where the Ramban writes, he created the stuff that life was made out of, that the world was made of, the matter, which was out of nothing. One of the tenets of Jewish faith is that God created the world out of nothing. Yesh me'ayin, from nothing he created it. So that word gets a bara. The first living thing that exists is in that fifth day. Till that point, all we had was day one, light and dark. Firmament separating the two waters on day two. We have the sun and the moon. And we have the vegetation and the earth. And then on the fifth day, we get for the first time a living creature. How do you create life? The first time there's a living creature, the Torah uses the word, Vayivra. Shem created the giant sea giants, these great sea giants, which is the first reference to the creation of something living. And where is the only other time we get the word bara? By man. This concept of the soul being brought down, the combination of body and soul that makes up the unique human elements, is something that's totally unique. That gets the word bara. Everything else is just being formed. The sun was formed from pre-existing materials, the moon, the earth, the vegetation, all of those things. But the earth itself is yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Life, the first life creature, is yesh me'ayin. And man, the concept of the soul being brought down from heaven and endowed into a human being with his intellect, his ability to speak and to communicate, is the only other time where we see this word bara used. So the 6 days of creation is interesting. There are only three in the Hebrew bara, three creations during those 6 days. The rest was Hashem forming, shaping, and making out of what was there everything else. But three unique elements: the world itself, creation of existence, life, and then human beings. I leave you with that thought. Have a fantastic day and enjoy Parshas Bereishis and all that there is in there.